Amen. You may be seated. Well, I'll give you a little secret about sermon preparation. Sometimes it just doesn't happen the way you think it ought to. In reading scripture, reading a few books, all of a sudden this idea pops in my head. The yeast of the least. I mean, it sounds great, right? And what do you do with it? And so you guys are going to get to take a little bit of a journey with we this morning as we talk about this. I don't know where we're going to end up, but you'll help me do that maybe. I think that the two terms coming together, it's interesting that they rhyme, but it's also interesting that I think they are core elements of not only the gospel, but of the whole scripture, Old and New. First Testament and New Testament are filled with these ideas of the least. We talk in the Old Testament about the remnant. And I think if you look at, sometimes we ask the question, well, why did God choose Israel? You know, this little backwater place out in, you know, the Mediterranean area, small little bitty group of people. Well, I think that's because God chooses the least. God seems to operate with less and less. He chooses the least. He takes Saul. Saul says, well, I'm the least. I'm the humblest in my tribe, in my family. David is the youngest in his family. Has to use a slingshot against a giant. You know, God uses the least. It's just a theme that runs throughout. You know, Gideon tries to put together a large army and God takes them away. He says, no, you don't need all those. You know, you can do it on a fraction. So God is about the least. The least is a common theme through that. And then there's the idea of yeast. You don't see the yeast used, but Jesus uses the idea of the mustard seed and the yeast in describing the kingdom of God. Now, couple of things about yeast. There's good about yeast, and there's not so good about yeast. We like the bread and the smell of bread and the taste of bread, which we get when it's raised with a little yeast. And the yeast is a fungus, sometimes we don't like the idea of a fungus, and especially the idea that we are eating a fungus. But it is a one-celled organism that has a tendency to bud almost like a flower and then grows. Yeast is not so good when it's on our bodies in some certain places, and it can be kind of painful. Yeast is a part of our life. It's one of those organisms that help make up our planet and brings about good things, but it can be pretty pervasive, and it grows very rapidly whenever it's given the right conditions. A little moisture and a little warmth, and it grows remarkably, and it doesn't take very much. Jesus uses in his telling and describing the kingdom of God, he describes the kingdom of God this way. He says it's like a woman who takes some yeast and she mixes it with 3 measures of flour, and it leavens the whole batch. That's what the kingdom of God is like. Oh, that's kind of remarkable. It's just like bread, yeah. Just kind of leaves it flat. It's a woman, yeah. Well, women bake, you know. If we put that story in our context, it's pretty placid. doesn't have much bite at all. But if we consider the context in which that was originally told, we realize, first of all, women were part of the least. Women didn't have much authority, almost in terms of many would not have maybe even considered them to have a part in the kingdom of God. They would be outside, definitely were outside the paternalistic society in which they were a part. So that a woman would have some role in the kingdom of God, that's a little racy. And then the idea that yeast is involved, we know that from the celebration of Passover, one of the things that was done at Passover was, in preparation for Passover, was to get rid of all the yeast in the house. And it meant a thorough cleaning of the house to get rid of everything just for one little bead of yeast get into the loaf and into the flour and cause a whole leavened loaf. I mean, you couldn't have that ritually with Passover, which was unleavened. So the idea was, the thinking was, how pervasive is yeast? Yeast is kind of one of those subversive things. You don't really see it work, but it does something kind of out of sight, out of mind, but it works, and it has power. It does its thing, and it does pretty powerfully. The other part of this story is Jesus says that this little bit of yeast that the mother, the woman uses, leavens 3 measures of flour. Well, what's a measure? Put 3 cups in, right? Wrong. That's not what Jesus meant. 3 measures equal about a bushel and a tenth and a half. So it was over a bushel of flour that the small measure of yeast, maybe a teaspoonful. I remember when my mother was baking, she'd take the yeast out, maybe a teaspoonful, put it in a small dish and add a little warm water, and it sat there for a while until it was ready to be mixed in with the flour. So, but 3 measures, a bushel, that's a lot of flour. That makes about 52 loaves of bread. The kingdom of God is like a woman who mixes a little bit of yeast with a bushel of flour. What's she doing with a bushel of flour? She's feeding her village. She's not just feeding her family, she's feeding the village. She has a vision of the power of sharing food. You think that doesn't change a community if you baked 52 loaves of bread and shared it in a peasant community? Well, in essence, Jesus is telling the feeding of the 5,000 in a different way, isn't he? The yeast leavens a bushel of flour. It's a radical story. It's an upside down story. It's upside down because the least are involved. Jesus, in the passage that we heard today, talks about a child, unless we accept the child. Well, I want to show you a few clips about what wisdom children have. Here's one that says, when I asked my son, who was 5 years old, how his day went, he said it was awesome. I asked him, what made it awesome? And he said the response was, because I wanted it to be. Huh? Is that wisdom? Huh? Among the least. Among the least. My son is 3 years old, was making way too much a mess in the bathtub. I've never seen that. And I said to him that he shouldn't go wild and to calm down. But he said with his arms up in the air, but I must have fun. Yeah, there's wisdom in that. Sometimes we just got to have fun, right? Some of you are going on vacation. I hope you have fun. My son, 7 years old at the time, and I know what is wrong with it, said, I know what is wrong with a baby. You know, that'd be kind of startling, wouldn't it? And I asked what he meant. He said, she's nocturnal. And he was right. You know, they learn pretty quick. How are we supposed to meet new people if we can't talk to strangers? My son, who was just 4, he asked me, today is tomorrow from yesterday, right? I thought I'd choke on my PB&J, you know. Wisdom, the understanding, how it all works from children. Children, I've got 15 of these, but I'm not going to read them all. You can go online and find them, 15 wisdom sayings from children. Jesus talks about the least, the child, the least of these. And the idea, I believe, is that the least can, just through kindness and gratitude and all of those things we've talked about before that are fruits of the Spirit, the least can build the kingdom of God. I think sometimes maybe we get it wrong when we decide that we have to build an army of Christians to change and transform the world. No, I don't think that's what Jesus intended. I think he intended for us to be yeast. He intended for us to be able to change the context in which we are in through what we do as the least. Even though we are the least, we have gifts and we have capabilities. We live in a culture that's so wrapped up about having more power, having more money, having more. We're wrapped up in the idea that we have to be number one, that we have to be the greatest, we have to be the best. Jesus talks about the least, the powerless, those who are kind of under the radar screen, those that don't have notoriety, those who on a daily basis do what God calls them to do. The message that we hear from annual conference, you are called again and again and again. You are called. Some people say, well, have you been born again? My response is yes, every day. We are born anew, born again into that call to serve Jesus. I think this message is about the work of the Holy Spirit within our lives to do what God has given us the capability to do. As I shared a couple of weeks ago, this, again, another term for yeast could be the Holy Spirit working within us. You are the least, but it doesn't mean that you are without possibility. You know, flour is just flour until you mix the yeast with it, and then something beautiful begins to happen. Yeast. We can be yeast. We don't have to be an army. We can be kind of subversive. We can work under the radar. You know, we can be kind. We don't have to have anybody to see that we're being kind. We can love. We don't have to let anybody know that we're loving. We can just do it. And that's what God, I believe, is all about with God's kingdom. The kingdom of God grew under Rome's radar, not because it was the state religion, but because it wasn't. That yeast of the Holy Spirit worked within the new church. As a matter of fact, I would say the worst thing that ever happened to the church was when it became a state religion. And then it lost its capability to be yeast and to do the transformation that it was called to do. We're not called to be powerful and to bold people over. We're called to be yeast with love and compassion and grace. So, go ferment. Become good beer if that's what you're intended to be. But go and be yeast. Go and let yeast work within you. Go and transform the world. In Christ's name, amen.